The Dan and Maz Show. My fellow Australians, it's time for the first meal of the day. And it's a day that starts with S, which means it must be time for your serving of weekend breakfast. So crank your volume up. Oh, to a respectable listening level. It is still quite early. It's time for Dan and Maz Weekends. Hooray!
Ooh, morning legends. It's Dan and Maz Weekends. Ooh, hello. Hey, Dan.
Hey, Maz. Good morning. Oh, it's so lovely to see you. I haven't seen you in a whole week.
A whole week. Are you good, mate?
Yep.
Awesome. We've got a cracking show.
Oh, I'm very excited to hear about what you did with Glasses Head, man.
Can we not refer to Alex Perry as Glasses Head Man?
I reckon if I went around the street saying, who's Glasses Head Man? Everyone would go, Alex Perry.
Really?
Yep.
Okay. Alex Perry and I did catch up. We will get to that chat a little bit later. As usual, we'll be kicking off this morning's show with Confused.
Mm-hmm. So I have a couple of news stories. One is a big fat fakie.
If you reckon you can spot the big fat fakie, and we're talking about the news stories, guys. 131060 is the number to call to play Confused.
Dan and Maz Weekends.
Let's play Confused.
It's our confusing news segment, so we call it Confused. Stop it. Do you know how distracting it is? It's very unprofessional as well.
It's
Do you ever hear Hamish and Andy singing along to their backing music?
Nope. I don't listen. No, I'm kidding.
Every day.
We do
take notes. Reuse their bits on our show.
We've got Dale this morning on 131060. Good morning, Dale.
Hey, Dan and Maz, how you going?
We're so good. We're great. Now, your
Dale,
job.
Or as Pitbull pronounces it, Dale.
Dale. Dale, your job this morning is to decide which news story that Dan tells you is a bit of BS.
Yeah, Dale, are you good at working out if someone's lying to you? What do you do for a living?
No, I work in a shop and I never know when anyone's lying, especially when I think they might be stealing stuff.
Oh, are you a security officer?
I wish. I get to wear that.
All right, let's
Dale.
Get to the news stories.
Oh, I wanted to grill Dale a bit harder, but all right.
We don't
okay.
have that time, unfortunately.
Good old Dale. All right, Dale, this is the first one. An Essex woman is pleading for help because her 9-year-old daughter won't stop humming. Doctors are baffled by the mystery condition. Her mum, Priya, has taken the youngster to a GP specialist and a private clinic, but so far, no one has been able to diagnose the problem or stop it.
Wow.
She hums. The only time she doesn't hum is when she's asleep.
Wow.
And the one time she went to a hypnotherapist. She didn't hum for an hour and then she started humming straight again afterwards. That's a story that makes you go,
It's involuntarily humming.
That's story number one.
Because I do it voluntarily.
Yep, it's infuriating. Story number two. Story number two, a woman in southeast Queensland was stunned to come home and discover a koala in her living room doing a sexy pole dance. It was sliding up and down on her home stripper pole with a sexy over-the-shoulder look. The video was uploaded to Facebook a few months ago, but recently pole performer Michelle Shimmy shared it worldwide, describing it as one of the most incredible and beautiful pole performances. And there is a happy ending.
Good.
The homeowner contacted Queensland's Daisy Hill Conservation Park and they safely released the koala back into the wild. The koala's name was Larissa.
Wow. They're both very interesting stories.
Both plausible yet unusual. All right, Dale.
Dale, which one's the fake one?
I would love to say that the second one is real. With the koala, but it has to be the first one. That second one's just too bizarre.
Okay, so your second one's a fake story, Dan.
Dale, you clown, you're wrong.
What?
No, see, I can't pick liars.
Yep. Wow.
You are fired.
So the koala was dead set in the chick's house during, like, on the stripper pole, just hanging
Correct.
Out.
Yeah, the woman in Essex, it's not humming isn't her problem, it's sneezing. She sneezes all the time.
Oh, wow.
8,000 times worse. A day. Yeah, 8,000 times a day. Achoo.
Wow.
That's what she does. 8,000? Dale, are you still here?
Yeah, I'm here.
Well, you win nothing. Today was the only day. This week we were doing a $1 million prize and you got it wrong.
Yeah, that's a real shame. Sorry, mate.
Dan and Maz Weekends.
I had the pleasure of catching up with Mr. Alex Perry quite recently for my new web series. What did you refer to him as before, Dan?
Glasses on the head, man. Always got his specs on his noggin. It's his trademark move. Can't have a trademark.
Well, you know, Preston's got cravats.
What's your trademark, Maz?
I haven't got it yet. I haven't figured it out.
Oh, no. You don't truly work in media until you have a trademark. Mine's my smouldering stare.
No, it's not. It's that hair. Whatever is going on up there, it's definitely a look. I don't know if it's a great one or not, but it is a look, my friend. That mop is out of control.
Alex Perry, come on.
Okay, this is part of my chat with Alex Perry. We discuss social media.
Alex, how does social media affect you as a designer? It's obviously very prominent now, and it didn't exist back in the day when you first started it.
I'm aware of it. I utilise it. I don't think it's as important as a lot of people like to make out it is. You know how many followers and how important it is and who's following you and what you put on there. Twitter, I think, is just a toxic dumping ground, and people just get on there and say awful things, and that gives people a voice who actually don't need to have one, and you're not interested in what they say. They just want to have a go at you.
The keyboard cowboys.
The keyboard warriors. Yeah. And I deleted it a couple of years ago.
So you've deleted your personal Twitter account?
It remains there because when I deleted it, somebody then did my same name.
Stole your name and then you had started to buy it back?
Well, no, I didn't have to buy it back. They just started writing really terrible things, and eventually people took them to task. And so then I got the name back, but it's there, but I don't use it. When somebody writes something vile, all I do is retweet it. And then the people who actually did like
it.
It infuriates them. And they would attack them. But to be really honest, you come at me, I'll come back at you, or I'll use whatever I need to. It's like, you started it.
He's such a badass. he's so lovably aggressive.
Yeah, he is. He did drop an F-bomb in our chat as well. If you want to hear it, we'll
Harry.
Put the full chat on our Facebook page. The thing I found really interesting about that, Dan, I don't know if you picked up on it, is that at one point somebody had Alex Perry's name as their own Twitter address.
Yeah.
I wonder if people do that on purpose to try and get a bit of cash off the person eventually when they need domain names and all of that kind of stuff.
Well, you know how Donald Trump has just announced that his running mate for VP is a guy called Pence. His surname is Pence.
Yeah.
Someone bought Trump Pence 2016 in April. They were like, I reckon this is going to be the guy. And now they bought it for $10 and they're selling it back to Trump.
As a social media handle?
as a website domain.
Because Trump, you know, obviously can't afford things like that.
Is it because Trump's really good at making deals? The art of the deal, and now he's paying back. But the thing is, Maz, if you started an account for Alex Perry, your picture would be one of those round eggs, which kind of looks a bit like Alex Perry.
Oh, brilliant.
Dan and Maz Weekends.
Did you know Monday was World Emoji Day?
Actually, I did know that.
Well, let's do an emoji quiz.
Okay, good. How does that work?
That's the confused music if you were up half an hour ago. That's the same game. Yeah. We've got one.
Game show, Ben.
The station has bought one game show backing track, and this is the one. Let's crank it a bit. Can we crank it up a bit? Have a bit of a listen. How is that? Good morning, Australia. I thought we'd do, because they've released a list of the most used or the most tweeted emojis.
So is this sort of like the, you know, like the rich list but for emojis?
Yeah. Oh, this cool. is the Forbes 500 for emojis.
Who Magazine's best dress list but
or
for emojis?
Or sexiest people or most Ooh. Intriguing people.
Well,
these are the
hottest
most
100?
Oh, well, let's say they hit 30 instead, hey?
I was thinking more of like a big annual thing that people vote on, you know, like hit these every night. Anyway.
R&B Fridays, top 100 R&B songs. All right?
Sure.
Come on, mate.
Yeah, hottest 100. Remember? That's what I said.
Don't bite the hand that feeds. What do you reckon the most used emoji of all time is?
Well, my first thought is smiling poo emoji.
Doesn't even crack the top 10, mate.
What about prayer hands? That's got to be up there.
Not in the top 10.
Really? Yeah. Is it just winky face?
Prayer hands is the most used emoji in India. So if we were broadcasting in India,
sense.
You would have got it in one. Yeah, because a prayerful country.
Winky face?
Nope.
Oh, is it
number
a face?
Nine? That ranks in at number nine is the winky kiss face. Do you want to know what the number?
Love heart. Generic. Ooh. Just red love heart.
Now you're getting there. That's in the top five. That's number Ooh. Five. I'll give you a hint.
Is it the gun?
Nope.
Well, there's a lot of stuff going on these days.
It's a face.
A face?
Yeah. Which one?
Oh, the smiling one.
Oh,
no!
Come on. Which
laughing
smiling
with tears emoji.
There you go.
Yes!
She got it. The number
and do
one.
And you know why that's the most used emoji, I reckon? It's because you never just use that once.
Correct.
If you are sending that in a text to someone because they've been hilarious, you use at least three or four of those in one text.
Mm-hmm.
If someone's been that funny, that would be why.
If I sent someone a joke, I'd rather get no response than just one laughing face.
I want at least
half a dozen.
Well, at least three I think is fair on how you
use
it.
Bashing that, yeah.
You're not sending three turds to someone, are you?
Well, Australia Post have banned me. the top five. Okay, so I said number five.
Can I guess
is,
all of them? Oh, no.
Number five is the love heart. The rest are all faces. Oh. Any others you want to try and guess? People in their cars are probably trying to guess
like
along as well.
It'll be the winky face. It'll be the, what about the one with the eyes where it's like, like big eyes?
Oh, close. The big love heart eyes is number two.
Oh, yeah, that's
it's the second most. Number three is the sad crying one. And number four is the blushing one going, ooh, the blushing one. Ooh, that one.
Which one?
Ooh, that one. Well, okay. What do you reckon is the most tweeted emoji in Australia?
Oh, is it a face? Is it a hand gesture?
Yep.
Is it a rude hand gesture?
No.
Thumbs up.
Yes! Well done.
I use the thumbs up all the time on the old text.
And
strong arms because I own a gym.
That's the most used emoji in Spain is the muscular arm flexing. Yeah.
That is really interesting.
The most commonly used one in France and Italy is the love heart.
Cute.
Because they are love countries. And in, do you want to guess what the most commonly used emoji in Colombia, Brazil and Argentina is?
Is there a white powder emoji?
Okay, that's culturally insensitive.
It is a little bit, but we're all thinking it.
Deep apologies to all our South American listeners. In fact, it's the musical notes.
Really?
Because they love to party.
Everyone loves to party, though.
What do you reckon the most commonly...
Well, that's sort of in line with what I was saying. I used the word line there on purpose.
Mass.
Sorry.
Please. I'm pretty sure Triple M got in a lot of trouble for saying stuff like that,
okay? We're moving on. Any more?
What do you reckon the most common food is?
Ooh, a taco.
Nope.
Oh, man, this is hard.
It's the birthday cake.
Oh, yeah. Good one. Birthday cake is a food stuff.
And the most 100%. Common emoji, the most common, it also surveyed the most common emoji used by Maz Compton is the eggplant emoji.
That's 100% true. How did you know?
Followed by the question mark emoji. Because that's what she just sends out to everyone. Didn't even actually the
it's
the
actually my
wasn't
auto response
foods.
On text. It just goes out. If you send me a text, that's what you get back.
It's just a robot you got installed. So there you go.
Good-o. Well,
if you want to have a chat with someone, bloody, that's something you can talk about.
That was informative. Thanks.
Yeah. Dan and Maz Weekends.
131060, if you'd like to answer this. How did things change while you were in the bathroom?
Okay, now we aren't a show for toilet humour, are we, Maz?
Well, I mean,
he says while a toilet sound effect plays.
There's a time and a place, and usually it's always on the Dan and Maz show.
Yeah, between 7 and 9 a.m. weekends.
We love a potty joke.
All we talk about is food and what comes after.
Yeah. But this
No,
is
we're
not,
pretty good. No, we're pretty good. We're
this
pretty
is
good.
Not about that. We don't want to know what happened in the bathroom. We want to know what happened when you got out of the bathroom. So you have gone to the bathroom for whatever reason.
We
you needed
don't
to fix
know.
Your mascara. You needed to adjust your underwear. I don't care what you
we
did
don't
in
not,
there.
Yeah, whatever you're doing in the WC, we don't want to know about
it's
it.
Doesn't matter. It's irrelevant for this segment
and
of
do
the
not
show.
Go into detail.
However,
yes,
when you re-emerged from that bathroom.
So you unbolt the latch, you open the door, you walk out.
What had changed?
What were you confronted with? What crazy thing was happening and it all went down while you were in the B room?
In the B room. A dude called Maurice Hunter, 80 years old, from South London.
Okay, this is a story that happened this week. Maurice.
Yeah, it's definitely Maurice.
I reckon it's Morris, but anyway.
Morris would be M-O-R-R-I-S. That's how you spell Morris. Maurice is M-A-U-R-I-C-E, like my cousin Maurice.
Ah.
Any discrepancies about how I pronounce his surname, which is Hunter?
I reckon it'd be Hunter.
Maurice, he was at the airport. He was like, I should probably go to the bathroom before I get on the plane. Went to the bathroom.
We don't need to explain
Doesn't
what he
matter.
Did in there. It's
Doesn't
not important
matter.
To the story.
Could have been changing into his comfy tracksuit pants for a long-haul flight. Who knows?
Could have just been splashing some water on his face.
Gets out of the bathroom, goes straight to the gate, gets on the plane, thinking that his wife has boarded the plane while he's in the bathroom.
Yeah.
Now, that was a silly assumption because she's stuck at the airport, left his wife at the airport.
He went off to sunny Alicante in Spain.
So bad.
All right.
He didn't even realize until they got to the other end, until he was there. And they're getting off the plane. And he's like, where's, oh no.
¿Dónde está la mía wifa? That means, where is my wife in Spanish?
I think he's from London. So he just would have been like, where's my wife?
Yeah. Where's me wife? So he would have flown back, met up with her. It all went down while he was in the crapper. So 13, 10, 60. Here's the question. You've gone to the bathroom. What changed when you got back?
13, 10, 60. We'll take your calls next.
Dan and Maz Weekends.
We've asked a very important question on the show this morning. 13, 10, 60. If you have a story for us, how did things change while you were in the bathroom?
The story is inspired by a guy in the UK. His name is spelled M-A-U-R-I-C-E. And we've got
Maurice.
A lot of tweets.
You don't have to spell it. It's Maurice. That is his name.
M tweeted us, says, incorrect, Maz. That name is also pronounced Morris. It's my husband's middle name.
Well, then why isn't it spelled M-O-R-R-I-S? Because that, to me, is how you would say and spell Morris.
Graham tweeted us and said, it's my father and brother's name and it's pronounced Maurice and Maury.
But not Morris.
No.
But Maurice.
It's all over the place, Maz.
This is like casserole 2.0. Everyone's going to lose their minds about how we say Maurice. Anyway.
This guy in the story, he went to the bathroom and then he got on his plane thinking his wife was on there and she wasn't. He had to fly back from Spain.
Oops.
We want to know. Have you gone to the bathroom? And we don't want to know the details of what you did in there, you
Doesn't
rude
matter.
Pigs.
It's
Come
irrelevant.
On.
Yes. We want to know what changed
when you came
afterwards.
Out, what did you come out and see? All right.
Okay. David on 13, 10, 60. Good morning.
Good morning.
Mate, Dave-o. What's your story, David?
I was just out camping and we had no facilities for the toilet, so went to a lookout at Halls Gap and the men's toilet were destroyed, so we had to use the women's. And by the time
David, when you say the men's toilet was destroyed, do you mean someone went in there and just really destroyed in it, or like?
Yeah, it was just unforeseen.
Can we just use the term that they were run down?
Yeah, that's good.
There were animals in there, wild animals. You just couldn't use it.
Okay, let's. Yep.
It had been taken over by possums or something.
So you went to use the female bathrooms.
Yeah, so we had to use other facilities, and they were quite fine. I was in and out quick, and my mate stuck in there, and I was sitting there waiting, and a bus pulled up, and it was full of people. It was just one of them big tourist buses. So they were all lined up out the front waiting for the tourists, and it was one of them was locked up, so it was a bit slow, and they were walking out looking a bit mortified. It was stinky in there too, so... Well, mate walks out, he's red as a tomato, and he's like, "Does not what it looks like."
That's exactly what it looks like.
So When your mate went into the bathroom, there was nobody waiting outside.
And he thought he could drop a sneaky too.
And when he re-emerged back into society, there was a busload of people waiting.
Yeah, he had no idea. I couldn't say anything. I was just cutting myself up, waiting for him to come out.
Probably would have been one of those scenarios too. Sometimes when you can use the bathroom in private, you're not too worried about the volume. You know, you just go for it. You're like, just going for it. And then he's walked out and there's a whole busload of tourists just sitting there enjoying some of the local sounds.
David, that's a really great story. It's exactly what we're after, because that's a lot that has changed from zero people waiting to a busload of people waiting.
Yeah,
it's a lot of change.
A red face.
Clancy.
A red face.
We're moving on to Clancy. Good morning.
Clancy.
Good morning.
Hey, babe. What changed when you went to the bathroom?
Okay, so I was at a party a couple of years back and we're all just sitting around this table, this outdoor setting, and we're just listening to music, playing a few drinking games. Anyway, I get up to go to the toilet.
Okay, so all right.
I thought, okay, I'm going to go into the bathroom and fix my makeup. Anyway, so I go outside and I really wasn't even gone that long and it was all just normal, like, when I left. When I came back, it was like someone had turned on the Harlem Shake. There's people dancing on the table. There's someone passed out in the garden and I'm just like, how does this happen within 10 minutes? Like, seriously. Oh.
Maybe you kill the vibe.
I don't know.
Maybe everyone was sitting there waiting to turn it up a notch. Like, just, but you were there, so they're like, let's keep it in check because Clancy's here.
Yeah,
the
maybe they were like,
you left,
a few
it's
more
like,
people that had shown up, and I've walked out and I'm standing there like dead silent. My jaw just dropped, and I'm like, what's happened?
That's amazing.
Clance, maybe so Clance, confused. Your friends, when you're around, they're like, oh no, Clancy's here. Better keep it low key. And they thought you'd left, and they were like, yeah, start the party.
Such a great story, though, babe.
All right.
Thanks for your call. Let's talk to Nick on 131060. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, Nick, how did things change while you were in the bathroom?
Well, a couple of years ago, I used to live in New York, and a friend and I were taking the transit in the city, and we used to hit the loo on the way into head onto the street. So I kind of warned him, like, strange things can happen when you go into the loo. So I walk in there, not knowing that he didn't follow and he was waiting outside. Go into the loo, everything's normal, and I come out, and I go wash my hands.
Everything's normal, always good when you go to the bathroom.
Loo just to check. Like,
just do a normality check.
Everything's normal.
Everything's still there. Awesome.
Yep. One, two.
Carry on.
Yep, one of those. Yep, all there, good.
Yep. And I come out from the loo, and there is a man standing at the sink, completely naked, working up a vigorous lather, washing his junk. And everyone else is just cleaning their, you know, washing their hands like nothing's happening. And I'm like, what? Shit you not.
Come on.
I turned and looked at him, and I quickly washed my hands and ran out the door. And I was like, what the hell did you leave me in there alone for?
Oh, okay. So it wasn't your mate.
No, it wasn't my mate. But everyone else was just kind of doing their own thing like it was normal.
Oh, dude, that's New York, hey? Like, everyone, there's just people just, like, who are just crazy and willing to share just all over the place, and everyone else is just getting on with their day.
That's just a bit
anything can
gross.
Happen.
Yep.
Nick, thanks for your call. It's exactly what we're after. I mean, things really did change quite dramatically there.
Yep.
Can we talk to Elsa? Good morning.
One more.
Yeah, we've
all
got
right.
time for one more. Elsa.
Hey, how you doing?
Oh,
hey.
So hey, good, mate. Babe. We want to know how things changed while you were in the bathroom.
All right. Well, I was a bit younger and I had a fish tank in my bathroom. Anyway, I went to the bath, had a shower, came back, and my bedroom was on fire.
What?
Yeah.
That's great.
Somehow there was an electrical spark and I had about a metre and a half flames licking towards the ceiling of our living house.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, and luckily I'd come out wrapped in a towel, so it was a case of flinging the towel off and chuck it over the top of everything.
Yeah.
Yeah, so anyway, escaped without any permanent damage, but it was a bit of a shock.
Elsa, did you start that story by saying you had a fish tank in your bathroom?
In my bedroom. It was in my bedroom.
Oh, okay.
I get
it. So it was the fish tank cable.
Yeah, it was combined with an oil heater I had nearby, and just the whole thing all went
all
up
right.
in flames.
Okay.
I get
for
it
a second there, I was really worrying about the relevance of the fish tank to that story, but I get
Can
it
I-
now.
Can I ask, Elsa, did you end up with a bit of slowly boiled fish after that?
that stupid fish lived for years.
Oh, it survived. Yeah. Oh, that's nice.
That's good. I'm glad.
I thought maybe it would have been a nice slow poaching.
They were fine, but my cupboard and all my notes, everything else, not so good. Yeah.
Oh, mate.
Wow. Yeah.
Still that, got a good radio story.
Great radio story. Well done. Congratulations.
She's been waiting for this topic ever since.
You're waking up with Dan and Maz Weekend. Everything lights up, makes you want to shout.
Morning legends, Dan and Maz Weekends. Hello.
This week in America, Mazzy, it's been the Republican National Convention.
America!
That's like the big stadium where all the red, white and blue balloons fall from the roof and Donald Trump is like, I'm going to be the guy who's going to run against Hillary. That happened this week.
Yes.
Americans froth on this stuff. Melania Trump, his wife, gave her speech.
It was her moment, right? It was like her moment.
Yeah. Well, she doesn't do a lot of media. Yeah. She was wearing her big puffy white dress. You might have seen the pictures, but you might have also heard that she plagiarized from Michelle Obama in her speech.
I did hear that. I heard that she may have borrowed a few of the statements that Ms. Obama made a few years back.
Correct, Amundo. We're going to talk about that next. Do you know who else she plagiarized from in her speech, though, was Mr. Rick Astley. Have a listen.
He will never, ever give up. And most importantly, he will never, ever let you down.
Never gonna give you up. Never gonna let you down.
How crazy is that?
Whoever put that together is a genius.
I'm so, like,
that
not only.
That is so funny.
She was stealing from literally everyone, well, not literally, but figuratively everyone in her speech. Michelle Obama, Rick Astley.
Wow. So, it's pretty full on.
She Rickrolled the nation. Why don't we?
Do you mean, like, we should play Rick Astley?
Absolutely. If it's good enough for American politics, it's good enough for Australian weekend radio.
Do you know what? Sure. Why not?
Let's bloody do it.
Rick Astley. Never going to give you up. Dan and Maz, good morning and you're welcome.
Dan and Maz Weekends.
Dan and Maz, yes, this is the Dan and Maz Show. Dan and Maz Weekends, and that indeed was Rick Astley, Never Going to Give You Up. We played it because we decided to Rickroll Australia in honour of Melania Trump, who Rickrolled all of America in her speech this week.
He will never, ever give up. And most importantly, he will never, ever let you down.
Never gonna give you up. Never gonna let you down.
Yeah, that's Donald Trump's wife at the Republican convention, which went down in the US this week. Donald Trump officially running against Hillary now. The Republican Party are like, okay, do you want to do it? And he's been like,
Yep. I'm in.
I'll be classy. I'll be gorgeous, okay? It'll be huge, I believe he said. I don't know. That was my Trump.
Well done. That was all right.
What? Rick Astley is not the only person that Melania plagiarized. 131060, here's what I want to know. Have you ripped someone else's work off? Have you gotten away with it? Have you plagiarized someone?
You blatantly
have you passed their work off?
Stolen something from someone and gone, you know what? I did this. I did this all by my little self.
Yeah.
All my lonesome.
Confess up to it. 131060, especially if you have never confessed about it before. We can keep you anonymous if you want.
The similarities between Melania Trump's speech and Michelle Obama's speech from a few years ago at the same event.
That's the other one, not just Rick Astley, also Michelle Obama.
But it's frightening.
They have a listen to them side by side.
Barack and I were raised with so many of the same values.
My parents impressed on me the values.
Like, you work hard for what you want in life.
That you work hard for what you want in life.
That your word is your bond, that you do what you say you're going to do.
That your word is your bond, and you do what you say.
That you treat people with dignity and respect.
That you treat people with respect.
Wow.
I mean, it's exactly the same.
They were going to, apparently, the speechwriter offered their resignation and Trump said, no, you're staying on. I still love you, which is weird because Trump loves firing people. It's like his favourite thing to do.
Yeah,
you're fired.
Isn't that strange?
But I mean, that's
look,
what we're going to know.
Everyone's talking about the speech, aren't they? So maybe speechwriter did a great job there.
Maybe.
Possibly.
If that's how you assess a great speech. 13, 10, 6, if you pass someone's work off as your own, did you get away with it? You can remain anonymous if you want, at school, at work, at uni, whatever. Give us a call. Now, I might tell mine up next, Maz, but...
A what?
Yeah, so I literally handed in my friend's assignment. Completely word for word, as my own. I'll tell you, I got away with it.
Was this in year four?
No, this was at law school.
Oh, that's a big deal.
When I was like 20.
Well, we all know how that turned out because you're not a lawyer, are you?
Yeah, but I did get the degree. So maybe if I tell the story, I'm going to get my degree taken away.
Oh.
And it's a good story too. I'll tell it next.
Do you know what you should have done is you should have started that by going, my friend has a story.
Yeah, I've screwed up now, haven't I?
Because now we all know there's definitely you that cheated.
Yep.
Okay, I can't wait to hear it.
All right.
Dan and Maz Weekends.
We want to know on 13 10 60 if you've ripped off somebody else's work and passed it off as your own.
Okay, now it's inspired by Melania Trump, who it was revealed that her speech was heavily based on Michelle Obama's speech. From 2008.
When you hear them side by side, there are exact chunks of text that are repeated in both of those speeches.
Yeah.
Also, didn't know, a couple of shout-outs in there to Rick Astley as well.
Yeah, we found that as well. She said that Donald Trump will never give you up and he'll never let you down, word for word. Now, when I was at uni, this was many years ago, like 10 years ago. So it was when the internet was like, uni was still very much pen and paper, but they were like, we might start, you know, really embracing this internet rather than trying to make everyone go to the library and you do pen and paper stuff, right?
Yeah.
So they said, we're going to do electronic submission of essays.
Great.
So you're going to submit it. We're going to trial it for the first time.
Does that mean that you had to, like, save it onto a floppy disk and then, submit the floppy disk to the teacher?
Well, this was the first time where they were like, you can email it through.
Whoa. That's kind of groundbreaking stuff.
Yep. And so everyone listening who's at uni right now is like, are you kidding? Yeah, dude, this was the olden days.
Yeah.
I was so busy. Email. This was like, it happens at uni where you have that time where all the essays are due at once, like three of them. And I was doing this play and I was very busy and I just hadn't done one of them. So because this was the first year of electronic assessment, I just sent through a blank document.
Why?
Because then a few days later, they were like, there must have been a problem with your essay. Can you send it through again?
You're kidding.
So I got my friends and I jiggled it around a bit and sent that through.
Wow. And so wait, did you get the same mark as your mate?
No, I didn't. My jiggling must have dropped 5% or something.
So you got scored less on the same essay.
And I didn't complain because you can't.
No, you absolutely cannot take that to the teacher and go, actually, I have a problem here with the mark that you've given me.
Yep.
And now
I've got a law degree.
You rebel.
That proves I'd be a good lawyer because I'll do anything to get my case across.
I'm going to start calling you Mike Ross from now on.
What's that a reference to?
Fraudulent lawyer in suits.
Oh, okay. All right. I would have gone with Better Call Saul, but okay. All right.
13 10 60. I mean, whose work have you ripped off? This, who knows what calls we're going to get. Louise, hello.
Hi, how are you going?
Oh, good.
A little nervous.
Are you a criminal like Dan?
Oh, don't say that.
Not as bad as Dan. I probably
won't get
in trouble with my uni.
Let's move away from that. Come on.
Yep.
What's your story?
So what I did was when I was in primary school, we had a pottery class and we had to make our parents some kind of little ornament.
Yeah.
Anyway, I broke mine. So my teacher felt so sorry for me that he gave me his. And I gave it to my dad, and I'm 24 now, and he still thinks that it's mine.
Oh!
And it sits in his office at work.
Oh, I love that.
That's amazing.
So Dad right now has no idea that the loving thing that you crafted and he keeps on his desk and reminds you of how much you love him was actually made by your teacher.
And he's still so impressed with my skills.
Oh, that's beautiful.
What a great teacher.
Yes.
I reckon that's good really nice teaching right there to go, okay. You've broken yours, you can have mine, darling.
Louise, would you ever tell your dad?
No.
Are you sure it's you don't want to do it on the show? That could be
you
pretty
don't
good
do
radio.
Live on radio to be.
Be pretty good. Like people would love that. People, if someone's sitting in their car.
Oh, okay.
That's the only reason I rang, because he definitely won't hear it.
We are on in WA. I'm just putting that out there.
But all right. Nah, he's probably listening to Triple J.
No, I doubt it.
Thanks, Louise.
I hear he loves us.
That's such a great story. Mario.
Hey, it's actually Marius, not Maurice or Mario.
Oh, my goodness.
We're having a discussion this morning. All right.
Marius. That's it.
Okay,
right.
Marius.
Now we've got your name sorted out.
We're talking about ripping people's work off, passing it off as your own. Have you got a story?
Yeah, it's quite sad, actually. I'm a minister. And
a government minister?
No.
Because they rip people's work off all the time.
A real one that steals nothing from no one.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. It's like a churchy minister. All right.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So it was back in South Africa. So someone invited me to do a speech, a sermon thing at a church. And I walked in there and they gave me a topic. And I thought, oh, this is brilliant. I've read something about this, like a local guy, local lecturer that did a book on it. And I've just used basically everything without giving the guy any, notice or anything. And I walked in there and I saw, holy moly, there is the guy sitting in the church.
Oh!
That was like a neighbouring, like a town, neighbouring town.
Oh!
And I thought, holy moly, how am I going to do this? And I started off and I just changed literally everything. I tried to, as far as possible. And when I got outside after church, someone came up to me and I said, oh, that was brilliant. And I felt so terrible. And I saw his wife. And then I realized he only dropped his wife at church. He was never there. And I was literally changing every second word, but it was still, it was his stuff.
Wow.
Marius, as a minister, who do you go to confess that? I guess a radio show.
I waited all these years to immigrate to Australia and to come and spill.
Oh, mate, that's so good. You did
that's
this guy's speech to his own wife.
That's pretty incredible.
The only way
that
could be
odds,
better.
Though?
But if she came up and was like, that was an amazing speech. I wish my husband could write like that.
And we've got time to get to Harry. Hello.
Harry.
Hey, Harry.
Morning, guys. How you going?
So
great.
Good. Have you ripped off somebody else's work?
Actually, I was in year 10 a few years ago, and I was doing SOCE, and my teacher at the time gave me an assignment on World War II. So I've smashed it out, gotten that down nice and early a few weeks before it was due to be handed in. And then one of my friends came to me and said, look, the night before, look, I haven't even started it. So I said, look, I'll give you my assignment. I said, I'll do it for you. I'll change a few words around. So it seemed a bit different, but it was relatively the same.
Yeah.
We both handed them in at the same time, got our results back 2 weeks later, and they've got an A and I've gotten a D, even though it was my assignment.
But you can't complain.
No.
Nah.
You cannot say anything.
I had a feeling the teacher didn't like me. He always just called me Pasta Kids. So I never used to listen.
Oh, weird nickname.
Yeah, sorry.
That's
one of those things.
That's
just one of those things,
mate. Yeah, that serves you right for academic collusion. Serves you right, mate. You shouldn't have done it.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you would have got the A.
Paying the price now.
Yep.
Working on a Saturday.
You and me both, buddy. You and me both.
Harry, thanks for your call, mate.
Dan and Maz Weekends.
The old non-emergency hotline open for business this Saturday morning.
Not to be confused with the emergency hotline, which is 000, right? You call that if there's a life-threatening emergency, and bloody good on you, 000. For providing that service.
They do an incredible job, and we don't want to jam their phone lines with things that aren't emergency. So we created the non-emergency hotline. The number is 131060. If you're in a situation, it is not an emergency, but you need some help, we will try and help you.
Non-emergency.
Like
kids kept me up all night and I didn't get to sleep.
What do you mean they kept you up all night? Are they young? Were they crying?
Yeah, I have a 3-year-old, a 2-year-old, and a 2.5-month-old.
Wow. Jeez.
I think that you guys need to babysit for a night.
Oh, no, that is not the solution. Yeah,
Brooke, the last thing you need is a night alone with your husband, all right? Like, let's put the brakes on that one, okay?
Well, I have to drive from Parramatta to Riverwood on E.
You're obviously from New South Wales. You're driving from Parramatta to Riverwood. How far is that?
Oh, it's about a half an hour drive.
Half an hour drive and you're on empty.
Yes.
Get a taxi. That's going to be expensive.
Yeah, you got to
reframe. Dan will pay.
No, he won't. Wrong. That's so incorrect.
131060 is the non-emergency hotline. We will try our best to help you out.
Are you in a pickle? Are you in a spot of bother? Is something slightly wrong this morning? It's like if you called 000, you'd be a bad person. You'd be using up the line and wasting their time. But if you call 131060, you're a legend.
We'll get to your calls next on the non-emergency hotline.
Dan and Maz Weekends.
Time to open up the non-emergency hotline. Non-emergency. 131060 is the number to call if you're in a situation. It is not an emergency. However, you need a bit of help.
Oh, what's ringing, Maz?
Hello, Kim. It's the non-emergency hotline.
Hi, guys.
What hey, Kimmy.
Your non-emergency.
My non-emergency is that I've just finished Pilates class and I have to drive my manual car home and my legs are jelly.
Oh, first of all, Kim, can I say I completely identify with you because I'm not much of an exerciser. Maz runs a gym for a living as a side business, whereas I don't run anything,
but
at least of all myself.
But you don't drive either.
Yeah.
Would you know what that means?
No, but let me keep going.
Okay.
So this week I've been for 2 runs.
Oh, my
I've
God.
Done 2 runs
How far
this week.
Did you go?
I don't know, like half an hour? Fine, 30.
I ran to catch a Pokemon today, so, you know.
Oh, so you're a mess. My legs are also really sore, but you know what? No pain, no gain, Kim.
That's it.
And the pain is just the exercise leaving your body or something like that.
No.
What is it, Maz?
No.
Isn't it? It's the exercise leaving your body or something?
No, it's not.
The more you exercise, the better you get. And if you've got pain, it means you're exercising good.
I heard a good one this week, which was sweat is just your fat crying.
Oh, that is awful.
Sorry, Kim, we've gone on a real tangent. What's
but have
your
we
problem?
Made you have we made you feel a bit better about your sore legs?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Every time you hit the clutch, that's you just remembering how fit you are.
That's it.
That's the inspiration that you
Reframe
need to get
back.
Home.
Oh, we
okay,
got another one,
Maz. Again. Kim's gone. Tony, hello.
G'day, how are you?
So Tony. Good, mate. What's your non-emergency?
Mate, I got coffee and I haven't got any milk.
Oh, where are you in Australia, Tony?
I'm in Blacktown.
Okay. Blacktown in New South Wales, outside of Sydney. Is there a cow near you?
No, not really. Not that close.
Oh, because milk comes from cows.
I'd love to milk one.
What?
Would you?
Excuse me?
Why not?
Tony.
Yeah, it'd be a life experience.
Tony.
Yeah, that yes.
Have you got any coconut oil?
What?
You can't put coconut oil in coffee.
Yeah, good
yes,
call,
you
Tony.
Can.
No, nah, good call, well made, Tony.
You put a bit of coconut oil in there. It's called a bulletproof coffee. It's meant to be really good for you.
No, that sounds awful.
I would like you to try one this week, Dan.
What about just a bit of engine oil?
Yeah, why not?
There you go. It'll probably kill you.
Don't try that. Sorry, Tony.
Just have a black coffee.
We're not very helpful this morning.
Oh, look, Maz, we've answered the phone.
Brad.
Hello.
Hey,
how
mate.
Going?
Oh, okay. We're not
What's
really
your
being very helpful.
No, this is good. What's your non-emergency, Brad?
What? Not absolutely fabulous because here you are talking to me.
Yeah, we are. Yeah. We're really fabulous. Yeah.
Absolutely.
All right.
My non-emergency is I need tyres for my car. It's kind of been sneaking up for about 12 months or so now, but I'm just about due for tyres for my car, so that's my non-emergency.
So are you driving around without any tyres on your car?
No, I've got tyres on my car. They've just been slowly wearing away.
Brad, that probably is an emergency.
Yeah, that's dangerous as.
That's actually really dangerous if your car is not roadworthy and
your
tyres
are
bulging.
Are you driving right now?
No. it's not that it's not roadworthy. It's just getting to the point now where I'm starting to have to look around to buy tyres for the car.
No, we're reporting you to the road cops.
To the road cops.
Yeah, we're going to dob you into highway patrol.
Yeah.
Is there still highway patrol?
Sure.
I don't know.
Yep. There totally is. My uncle works for them.
What? I don't drive. Or your Uncle Morris.
What's his name? Punch and...
What?
What was his name?
I don't know.
What are you on about?
Brad, what are you talking about?
That's a very rude question, Brad.
Hey, Brad, on a side note, get
Who's
on eBay
Poncho?
And get yourself some tyres, please.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or also, if you go to the boot, right, sometimes there's a miniature tyre hidden in the boot.
Yeah. The emergency wheel, but he needs four of them.
Pull the carpet up.
I thought the lines are still open. Penny, hello.
Hi.
Hey, Penny, what's your non-emergency?
My son and his friends have had a car accident near Tyro, and I live at the Sunshine Coast, and their
that's an emergency, Penny.
That's an actual emergency.
Is everyone okay?
No, they're all fine. They eat kangaroos, so they can't go anywhere, but the tow truck's going to pick up the car, but not them. So they're on the side of the road, and I have to drive an hour and a half, and I'm supposed to be doing study.
Penny, can't they just hitchhike home?
Yeah, you'd think so.
Why don't you get someone else to do your study for you?
Yeah, well, that would be really good.
Like get someone to, what are you studying?
I'm doing my master's, so.
In what?
In nursing.
Oh.
Nursing? Yeah, I reckon I could do that. I reckon I could write it for you. Yeah.
Yeah, sure. Like the other paper?
Don't bring that up. Don't bring that up.
Oh, wow. So, Dan, you're volunteering to do Penny's nursing study.
Or she goes to get
all the people that are stranded.
I'll just do what I did back in the day and hand in my mate's paper.
Which is about law.
Don't. Stop talking about it because I will get in trouble.
Okay. I think we're going to wrap it up there.
All right.
I feel like we were semi-helpful this morning.
I reckon we helped four people this morning. A really good service. And none of them had to call 000 with
That's
their non-emergencies.
Right.
It's a really good service.
Go us.
Yep.
Dan and Maz Weekends.
It's almost time for us to get out of here. But before we do, we must tip our hat to Splendor in the Grass.
Oh, it's underway.
It sure is underway. So many great bands on the lineup this year. And I thought, you know what, if you didn't wake up in a pool of mud and sweat and flower crowns, you are 100% not at Splendor in the Grass. And
how are you living your life? Come on.
Here are a few other thoughts. I was like, you know what? If you thought that the Avalanches were actually like a throwback act when you saw the lineup for Splendor in the Grass, it's okay that you're not there because they've got a brand new album out after 16 years.
Wake up, Granddad.
If you're not okay spending $250 on trendy gumboots just to throw away after 3 days at Splendor in the Grass, it's okay that you're not at Splendor in the Grass.
When I went, I bought Converse ones.
Ooh, so trendy.
Rubberized Converses, yeah.
If you thought that at the drive-in is a venue at Splendor in the Grass where bands play, it's 100% okay that you're not at Splendor in the Grass. And if when you did see the official lineup, you thought that it was a medical journal with the Strokes and the Cure, then that's okay that you're not at Splendor. I know there's a lot of people that aren't there that are a little bit jealous, but I think you're going to be okay, guys.
The band that is the opposite, this is a fun joke, the band that is the opposite to The Cure is Placebo.
Or the other one is if you hear people talking about, oh, I'm going to go and get some organic donuts, and you think that's something dodgy, no, they're just actually organic donuts in Byron Bay and everybody flipping loves them.
Yeah, they're bloody delicious.
They really are amazing.
To be honest though, Maz, if you weren't working this morning, would you be there?
100%. This is the first year I've missed Splendor in about a decade.
Not glamping.
Not glamping this year. Guys, we're going to get out of here, but we're back tomorrow morning from 7 a.m. The show lives online. Please leave comments, send us some love. We're at Dan and Maz on all of the socials, and we'll catch you tomorrow morning. See ya.
Dan and Maz Weekends.